1898, Marquis Who's Who has offered our distinguished listees the opportunity to set themselves apart through our print publications. Now, Marquis Radio offers these illustrious professionals the chance to shine in our one-on-one interviews. My guest today is Louise Faye Dupré, who is a retired secondary school educator of world languages, formerly with New Canaan High School. How are you doing today, Louise?
I'm doing just great. And yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you for asking. So why don't you start by telling us how you became involved in your profession as an educator?
Well, I consider myself very fortunate that I already wanted to be a teacher when I was in elementary school. And it all started with picture languages, similar to hieroglyphics, but a lot easier. And each letter was represented by a picture, and I would write letters to people. And that started my love of languages. And, of course, I played school, like a lot of other kids, and I enjoyed that a lot. And my dad was a teacher, so I feel like I kind of fell into it.
Was there ever a moment that you felt called into something else, or was it always education from the get-go?
There was one other thing. I loved music, and I studied the pipe organ for quite a few years, but I couldn't see myself having a career with the organ, principally because the organ's a beautiful, powerful instrument, but if you make the slightest mistake, it's very visible. And I felt, you know, nervous having a profession that was a performance like that all the time.
So how did you make the progression from wanting to teach to actually becoming a teacher? What was your introduction into the field?
Well, I would go visit my father's friends in the classroom and watch them teaching. And I'd do the same with my father, you know, and I'd kind of watch him present a lesson and work with the students. And gradually, you know, I really did picture myself in the classroom. And my mother started to teach me French when I was at the end of the eighth grade. And I thought it was really fun. I worked with her for a whole summer. And it might have been different if I had been in a class, but one-on-one with my mom studying the language, I just thought it was a lot of fun. And then my parents sent me to France, and I loved that. And that's how I got into the profession. And there was one more thing. I had a mentor who loved to introduce students to teaching. And her name was Rebecca Satterley Robbins, and she was a very, very good teacher. And she actually came and visited me at my college and got me really interested in teaching languages.
So as an educator of world languages, which languages were your specialties?
Well, my real specialty was French at all levels. I taught elementary school French, third grade through the sixth grade, and then I taught the high school. And I taught a lot of advanced classes. One in particular, advanced placement French, was really a college level class in literature for many years, and then in advanced placement French language toward the end of my career. So that was for many years I taught elementary Spanish.
Did you have the opportunity to travel abroad to refine your skills?
Oh, yes, many, many times. I traveled to many French places, not only France, but I went to the Caribbean, to Martinique and Guadeloupe, and also French Canada, of course, and then Quebec, and then also the islands of Saint-Pierre and Miquelon, which are right near Newfoundland. And people may think they belong to Canada, but they actually are French. And that was a lot of fun because it was so near, you know, we flew out of New Brunswick, and it was so near, but they belonged to France. So I went many times to France, probably 10 or 12. I always saved my money and saved my money to be able to get to France one way or the other. It wasn't every year, though, by any means. It was about every 5 years that I tried to go to France. And then also I went to Spain, to Madrid, and I tried to go to northern Spain, but the year that I went, the Basque people were revolting, and they blew up the railroad, so I had to fly from Madrid into southern France and skip northern Spain. It was really an adventure.
I imagine so. So what do you think is the most challenging aspect that your students have with learning foreign languages, particularly the Romance languages?
Well, I think it's just a matter of time. You know, the students have about 45 to 50 minutes a day at the high school level, and they really advance in terms of listening and in terms of reading and writing. But the speaking is the hardest, only because they're not immersed in the school that I taught in. There are a few immersion programs in the States, not too many, but New York City has an elementary school immersion in the French language for several years. But it's really a question of the amount of practice. And also another thing is learning and using the words a lot. My students didn't have too much trouble learning the words, but, you know, you have to use them over and over and practice a lot every day. So you have to do it for several years before you see wonderful progress in speaking.
Do you have any experience using supplemental educational materials to bolster lessons? I'm thinking of something along the lines of maybe like a Rosetta Stone.
Well, we have in our high school a wonderful language laboratory, and it was upgraded toward the end of my career so that it was not just listening, it was speaking. You know, you could speak back to the materials, and so you would hear native speakers. They would go into the culture and the history and pronunciation, and they would ask the students questions, which the students would answer, and then they would hear their answers. So that technology was really good. Rosetta Stone is wonderful. I don't think it lends itself as much to a classroom experience, but it is a wonderful online program to use. One of the few that is really, really good.
So in what ways, if any, did the process of educating differ from when you started in the field versus when you retired?
Well, when I retired, there was more of an emphasis on speaking than ever before. There always was some emphasis on it, but toward the end of my career, there were always debates about whether we should just be teaching people to speak. But it's kind of hard to have 45 to 50 minutes of speaking if you haven't read a document or heard that Notre Dame almost burned to the ground, or, you know, something you can speak about. You really have to have things you can talk about, because especially at the high school level, the students are quite sophisticated, and, you know, they don't want to talk about how are you, how's your family, etc. for forever. They want to talk about meaningful subjects. And that brings up another point. Toward the end of my career, they tried to make world languages more and more practical so that students would have really meaningful conversations. Like there might be a question, do you believe in climate change? What do you think we should do about it? And then you would divide the class into groups, and they would discuss that. And then you could bring them back together, and you could talk about the difficulties of the vocabulary of that subject and sum it up. But we really tried to make it practical. And in fact, we tried to have the students in Spanish visit a Spanish school nearby, and we had the French students going to a school in another town where they had an advanced placement program and getting the students together, that sort of thing. Making it more practical was really a change from the beginning of my career.
So now that you've retired, do you find yourself missing the work?
I don't miss the work. I did really enjoy reading my advanced students' essays. It took a lot of time, but I really did enjoy hearing what they had to say about a number of subjects, including the literature that we read. There are many parts of teaching, filling out forms or many, many guidance appointments, a lot of preparation and correcting. You know, I don't miss all that, but I do miss the teaching and working with the students. And I try to keep up with French and Spanish now that I'm retired, because I still do enjoy the languages a lot.
So what keeps you busy these days?
Well, I have a certain amount of volunteer work that I do. Right now I'm volunteering at the OI, which is a Middle Eastern Oriental Institute Museum at the University of Chicago. It's world known, and I work in their shop, which is called the Souk, S-U-Q, and I enjoy that a lot. I meet people from all over the world, and it's obviously different, but it kind of keeps me in the field of culture and internationalism. I enjoy that a lot, and then I work in some philanthropic groups like the University of Chicago Service League. We help several different organizations in Chicago. And then in the winter, I go to Williamsburg, Virginia, and I work with my husband driving for Meals on Wheels for older people. And so that keeps me busy. And then, as I mentioned, I love to keep up with French and Spanish. So my husband and I, we go to a French table group for both French and Spanish on different days at the College of William and Mary. It's really a national program for senior citizens that want to keep up their studies. It's a lot of fun.
When you look back on your career as a whole and your life as a whole, what do you think has been the most important lesson that you've learned?
Well, probably the most important thing that you learn in teaching is the wonderful diversity, the diversity in the world and in the United States, and how all of these students contribute. You know, we hear a lot today about continuing problems of racism, but in education, you meet different students of different ethnicities, from different countries, from different races, different economic levels, and I really think that that was a joy for me. I taught students from about 12 different countries.
And if you had to pass on one piece of advice for the teachers of the next generation, what would that piece be?
Well, I've thought about that a little bit, and I think in order to teach, you really have to have a wonderful passion for the subject that you're teaching, and then work as hard as you can to be the best that you can and get as much education as possible.
So, Louise, at this point, I'd ask if there's anything that you'd like us to cover that we haven't had a chance to mention yet.
Well, just maybe other things within the field that I've enjoyed doing. I don't know if it would be fit in anywhere, but I worked at the high school in independent studies for many years, and I loved that. Mm-hmm. And I gave a talk on the history of French in Williamsburg, Virginia in the winter, which took a lot of preparation. I just love history and the role of French and Spanish in our country.
Were you speaking at one of the historical settlements there?
No, I was speaking to a philanthropic educational organization called the PEO.
I see.
It's It's a Canadian and American philanthropic group.
Are there any other career-related side projects that you've been involved in?
I did help with a booklet called French in Connecticut, which was the same kind of thing I did with French in Williamsburg, the various cultural places in Connecticut that highlight the history of France. You know, during the American Revolution, the French walked across Connecticut and all the way down to Virginia to help our troops in the Revolution, things like that. I guess that's about it.
Thank you, Louise, for taking the time out of your day to share your story with our listeners. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Marquee Radio. Stay tuned for more in-depth and informative interviews with professionals from all walks of life.